Right, good morning everyone. Today is our fifth message. We've been in lockdown for five Sundays. I understand that some of you are more in a lockdown than others, but it is still good that we can still do these things. The most important thing, obviously, is I think of each and every one of us today. I don't have cutout figures. I have John's in lockdown with me this morning. As I think of us as a church, I am looking forward to that we all can be together. And, something as a believer, one of the biggest needs in a believer's life is to fellowship with like believers. Don't ever think that fellowshipping with the world is going to help you. And as we go through this morning's message, I hope this will be a little bit more clear. We have been doing this series is still the true and living God, as you know. I haven't put up the third eschatology lesson yet. I'll try and do that through the week, which is dealing with the terminologies of Daniel. As we have been looking at Daniel's 70th week, I've made it twofold. There's some of the lessons dealing with the prophecies of Daniel and some of the terminologies. And so today we'll probably see a little bit of that. We're going to get into Daniel chapter 4. So we're going to be in Daniel 4 this morning. And I want to be frank this morning. With Daniel 4, I'm just going to say it really as it is. And Daniel 4 is a great passage for the believer, the world, or people who want to know God. And I just pray that this morning we can get into that. Now, the message this morning I've titled Things Don't Last. Things Don't Last. And one of the problems we all have, and especially the older we get, and especially as I think of most of our congregation is moving into the older stage, things don't last, amen? Our bodies don't last, and those sorts of things. So maybe that can be a little bit of an introduction this morning. If you're still young, don't worry about that. You don't have maybe that problem. But today I do want to look at, from Daniel 4, things don't last. So let me just pray first, and then I'll read. We'll read Daniel chapter 4. I'll read you the most part of chapter 4, and then we'll finish it off near the end of this message. So let's just pray. Father, I ask God this morning you be with our church family, Lord. I pray you take care of each and every one of them. And Lord, I pray, Lord, they are your sheep. And Lord, I know that sheep need food, and we need the word of God. We need to hear from heaven, Lord. We're not part of this world, but we ask God that this morning you would meet our needs this morning. I really do pray for that. I pray that the word of God be rich in our hearts and our minds and our thoughts. And may it, Lord, be something that can guide us. And Lord, I thank you for the Bible, Lord. It's never there for our hurt. It's always there for our benefit. It's always given in a way that it's what's best for us. And I pray, Lord, this morning that we can get the truths and some of the messages out of here as we look at Nebuchadnezzar, a great king, your servant, Lord, as he finds out. And we just ask God you be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so let's pick this up now. We're going to pick it up in Daniel chapter 4, just as a way of remembrance that last week we looked at the Hebrew children who wouldn't bow down to worship the image set up by Nebuchadnezzar, the image of gold. He set that thing up seven times. They weren't going to bow down to his greatness or his image, but they were going to serve the true and living God. And as you looked at last week, their resolve was that no matter what, they knew their God would deliver them. And the anger of Nebuchadnezzar, if you remember, his fury that they would actually defy his greatness. and they wouldn't bow down to this image that was that he'd set up, that he turned the furnace up seven times hotter than it was, and threw them into the fiery furnace. And And while they're in there, he looks in and he can see one like as the Son of God. And he can see, and I sometimes think that as we're going through Daniel, that's a picture of maybe what the tribulation will be like. I just want to say some of these things before we get into chapter 4, but just to remind you that, you know, that when you look at Daniel's 70th week, which we've been looking at, and Jesus Christ himself said about that week, he called it the Great Tribulation in Matthew 24:21, and I want you to keep in mind his words, what the Lord said, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. In other words, you could almost say that the tribulation of that period is seven times hotter than any other time that has happened in the past. But there's a great, wonderful picture, even through that tribulation, even in the hottest time of, as we'll come into that, you see Jesus Christ delivers the Jew. And I do want to say this as we prior to that, is that the Jew has always, the world does not like the Jew. They've always tried to get rid of the Jew. Now, if you think about Nebuchadnezzar, for example, Nebuchadnezzar's greatness was that as a king he had, what you could say, he made the law, he made a decree, he executed it, and there was no court of appeal. So you remember the first dream in chapter 2 is that when the magicians and that couldn't answer what the dream was or even give the interpretation of it was, he called the captain and said, right, execute them. And that's how great Nebuchadnezzar was. He made the law, he then made a decree, and if anyone broke that law, there was no court of appeal. That was it, and you were executed or carried out to the punishment that whatever he decided to deal with. So Nebuchadnezzar was as a great king, he was extreme. There's been no other greater king than Nebuchadnezzar. And there's been no king that's had that much power and that much liberty, you could say, to make his own laws and then carry them out. The tribulation is an extreme. It's the 70th week which we're coming to. It's a time that's never been before. Don't get in your mind to think that you and I are in that period at all. We haven't seen anything like it, nor will we, thankfully, because if you're saved this morning, where will you be? In heaven. Hallelujah. So we'll be in heaven. So it's an extreme. Nebuchadnezzar was the greatest king. The kingdom that comes after Nebuchadnezzar is the Medes and the Persians. Remember, they had to look at the law to try and release Daniel from the lion's den. There wasn't a court of appeal, and so on as it goes as we look at the book of Daniel. But as I said, the world have don't ever miss the fact that the world's always tried to get rid of the Jew. And they threw those Jewish Hebrew children into the fire in chapter 3. And you think about how, it's funny, you know, we, as I come into this message, that things don't last, but there's one thing that does last, and that's the Jew. And let me show you what I mean. You remember the first time in Genesis, Pharaoh tried to get rid of the Jew, didn't he? By killing all the first male. Nebuchadnezzar, he tried to get rid of the Jew. Remember the book of Esther. The book of Esther is in the time of the Persians and Medes. There was a decree to get rid of them, to get rid of the Jews at that period of time. What about Hitler? Didn't he try to get rid of the Jew? And it's sort of interesting when you think about that the world's always tried to get rid of the Jew, but can I say that they haven't been able to get rid of the Jew? I'm just going to, as we look at the Jews, I'm just going to go and read you Revelation chapter 12 for a moment as we keep this in context of what we're talking about. Even in the book of Revelation, you finally get the dragon himself. Satan himself comes to persecute the woman. And in Revelation 12:13, now just listen to, you don't have to try to get to these verses this morning at the moment, just listen to what the Bible says here. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman. This is Satan's fall here in, in Revelation 12, and the woman, and brought forth the man-child. So he's persecuting the one that brought forth the man-child, the woman, that's the Jew, Israel. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half, a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, still trying to annihilate God's people, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, the world and Satan have always tried to get rid of the Jew. That's a fact. That's what the Second World War was about. Here in Revelation, we see Satan's final attempt to try and get rid of the Jew. And he wasn't. And of course, we know that Satan, didn't happen. We know that is also the prophecy of Daniel, because Daniel in 9:26 said, "And after 62 weeks, which we've covered, shall Messiah be cut off." Jesus Christ was cut off at the first advent, amen. But as you remember, he was cut off at the first advent. Understand, Daniel didn't see the Jews rejecting their king, but not for himself. Aren't you thankful that the Lord wasn't cut off for himself? He was our substitute. He died on the cross for man's sins, past, future, and present. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with what? A flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. You know, I want you, as we come into this message, before I do read Daniel chapter 4, I do want you as a believer to think about this for a moment, that you are a Jew. Anyone that's been saved is a Jew. The Bible says the believer is a Jew, because in Romans 2:29, you could also go to verse 28. But the Bible says, "But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is of that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Do you remember that in Daniel's image was that it was going to be toppled by a stone made without hands? Do you understand, as we looked at recently in this series, that in Colossians 2:11, that we have the circumcision made without hands? Do you realize that your salvation and my salvation is not made by man's hands, but it's made by God's hands, amen? Do you realize that your salvation will last? The reason it will last, it's not made by our hands, it's made by his hands. And as we look at that, we're a Jew. Now, I find it very, very odd and strange that the world hates the Jew. Would you agree with me this morning? They've always hated the Jew. By the way, if we're a Jew inwardly and we are peculiar people like those of the Old Testament, why do you think it's a strange thing if they hate you? Why do the believers today think the world should love them? Don't you realize that you're one of God's children and Satan hates you? Amen. See, we're believers, and a believer is not someone that should find his home in this world, and he shouldn't find his home in acceptance with this world, amen, because when they find out that you have Christ in you, the hope of glory, and that you believe the Bible, you're soon going to find out that they're not your friends, and in fact they hate you and they want to annihilate you. You say, "Well, Brother Simon, we don't find that in our country." No, but I tell you who's looking at you. That's a country to the north. It's called China. And China will wipe out all the Bible-believing Christians. You realize, you say, "Why is that?" Because they know and understand something, that your salvation is not made by them. It's made by God. And when we realize that our salvation is made by God, not by his hand, they can't control you. And they will persecute you. And here we see, when we looked in Daniel chapter 3, what did they do? They accused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for not bowing down to worship the image. Hey, look, as a believer, I'm not going to bow down and worship any image, amen? And the world might just throw you into a fiery furnace by not bowing down to worship their gods, amen? Hallelujah to that. Because who is our God? Jesus Christ. Oh, by the way, don't think anything's changed. What about the Spanish Inquisition? How many Christians were burnt at the stake because they wouldn't deny the deity and the faith in Jesus Christ? So when we look at Daniel, understand that Daniel is a Jew standing before, as a prince standing before this Gentile king Nebuchadnezzar, and he picks it up in Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel, as a prophet, didn't see what you and I understand, because actually in Luke 1:67 and verse 71, when was talking about their king, the horn of their salvation. This is the Jew talking about the first advent when Jesus Christ would come. They called him the horn of their salvation, who would deliver them from their enemies. Well, you say, who were the Jews' enemies? Well, King the Babylon, the Medes, the Greeks. How about at that time when Jesus Christ came, the Romans? And he was their deliverer, called the horn of their salvation. In the Bible, the word horn means king. He was their king. So when Daniel looks at the prophecies, he doesn't see Israel rejecting their king and Jesus Christ standing up ready to return, second advent, in Acts chapter 7, amen? After the preaching of Stephen to the Sanhedrin, they rejected their king and Jesus Christ sat back down, and now the gospel, you could say, goes out to the Gentiles. We get in, and now we have the mystery of the body of Christ. And we're in the body of Christ, or sometimes it's known as the church age. Hallelujah. So when Daniel writes, and we look in the book of Daniel, he doesn't see the mystery of the church age. He doesn't see that God's people rejecting their king, the only true and living God. And just keep those thoughts in mind. Because you remember that it was such a thing for Herod that there was no way that there wanted to be any kind of rumor that the one that they executed, or the Jews handed over to them to be cut off, which was Jesus Christ, they wanted to make sure in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 62 that the disciples would come at night and steal him away and say that he was resurrected, amen? Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ would then be put into the hands of the Romans when they realized, well, he is the king. So they made sure that there was a stone around that. So let's just come into Daniel chapter 4. I know there's a little bit of an introduction there this morning on some of the things that we have covered. But as a believer, I just want you to think in your mind for a moment that your salvation that we have will last. Amen? It's not made by man's hands. It's made by God's hands, the true and living God. Let's pick this up now in verse 1. And now Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. So this shows us how far his kingdom reached. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God have wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. It's Nebuchadnezzar was at rest. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my own house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the vision of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree, here's that decree, to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. And then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. Soothsayer is someone who can prophet, is like a prophet. Sometimes they tell the truth. And Diana was a soothsayer in Acts. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, you know, just as a matter of interest, you know, sometimes you hear people say that the spirit of God was on them. No, the Spirit of God was in them. When 1 Peter 1:11, where it talks about the prophets, Peter said, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow them. You realize that the prophets, and Daniel was a prophet, he had the Spirit of God in him, not just upon him. That's why in Daniel 5:12, talking about Daniel himself, as we're going to see here in verse 8, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar, now he let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. That's reading from Daniel 5 verse 12. See, the prophets had the Spirit of Christ in them, not just upon them. And Daniel had an excellent spirit. And I want you to realize that we often hear people talk about the Holy Ghost. By the way, you and I have the Holy Ghost, don't we? He's in us. Have you ever noticed what the work of the Holy Spirit does for you and I? Just the same here. Gives us understanding. Showing us hard sentences. Have you ever noticed since you've been saved how the Bible is becoming a lot more interpretable to you? Maybe at the beginning some of the sentences were hard. One of the other things that Daniel had was a dissolving of doubts. Isn't it nice to know that the Holy Spirit is giving you that assurance that you are saved? Amen? You know that you can't lose your salvation. And that is the work of the Holy Ghost. And that's what Daniel had. He had the Spirit of Christ in him, as Peter said. And it was an excellent spirit. But here, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and the carnal mind called the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and his carnal mind went to the world to try to figure this thing out. Isn't it interesting that in verse 8, Daniel's the last? Amen. You know, I'm your pastor. You know who always is the last to know? Is me. Amen. Most of you run to your own wisdom and you run off and you go to the world to try to get something fixed, and the one that God put before you as your pastor to teach you and to preach to you and give you the word of God is me. You know the last person who finds out is me. And I've been pastoring long enough to see it. One of the reasons I believe that is because most people think that when I preach that the message is for somebody else. Generally, the message is for the person that can hear the message. Amen. It was funny last week. I came home after doing this on a Sunday, and I know that I have my own faults, and I came home, and Jan was listening to it, and she got all upset. She said, "Oh, you know, Simon, you started in this verse and you couldn't start in that verse." And she got all upset with me because she just somehow couldn't follow where I was going. And I said, "Listen, hon, that doesn't really matter to God. Did you get the message?" See, some things don't matter to God as much as you think. But what does matter to God is the message. So as we look here in Daniel, I'm speaking to us as a church. This message is for anyone that hears it, because we're talking about Nebuchadnezzar and a truth here that we all need to know and understand, and I need to know that he is the true and living God, and we need to extract some things out of Daniel as we read this and understand. See, the carnal mind always runs to the world. Don't make fellowship with the world. So Daniel here came in before me, but at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God. Wouldn't you think by now that Nebuchadnezzar, he'd be the first one you'd call? I mean, Daniel was the one who was not able to tell Nebuchadnezzar, the king, what the dream was, because it went from Nebuchadnezzar. He was the one also who was able to give the interpretation. Think about Nebuchadnezzar for a moment. He looks in a fiery furnace and he can see the Son of God. By the way, you know, the carnal Christian knows and can see the Spirit of God in other believers, amen? Yeah, hallelujah, because you and I have the Spirit of Christ in us. Oh no, Daniel was last. And our carnal nature will always run to something else because we have a not a finite or an infinite mind. We look at the temporal things. We don't look at the eternal things. So we never approach thing on an eternal matter. We always approach it on a carnal or a temporal matter. Where really most of our problems that we have as believers is a spiritual matter, not a carnal matter or a need. It's normally a spiritual matter. So here in verse 9, Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the vision of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. Well, come on, Nebuchadnezzar, you should have had him up first. Amen? He should have been the first standing before you. Thus were the visions of my head and my bed, and I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. So Nebuchadnezzar, he knows the dream. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached into heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. And I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. Keep in mind the watcher here. And he cried aloud and said, thus, hew down the tree, cut off his branches, make off his leaves, scatter his fruit, let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Notice the word seven. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and set it up over the beast of men. Here's the theme of the book, that there is a God in heaven and he is in charge, and he will give it to whom he will. And the watchers, we'll talk about the watchers in a moment, they set up a decree. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar liked to set up a decree. God's going to show him that he's not the greatest one, that God is. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen, now thou, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Notice Nebuchadnezzar is not quite as furious as he was in chapter 2. He actually listens to them. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. I'd say he was petrified, astonished. It troubled Daniel. See, Daniel was the prince. He stood before the king. He understood the interpretation. It astonished him. You know, when Jesus Christ was on the cross for 1 hour, it would have astonished him. The sins of the world became in darkness, and he took upon the sin of the world. Here, Belshazzar, here Daniel, he's petrified, and his thoughts troubled him. And the king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to mine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit whereof was much, and it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven and their habitation. By the way, the fowls of the heaven in your Bible are principalities and powers. And there's a kingdom here, Babylon. And here you have the principalities and powers over it. And Daniel's in charge. Nebuchadnezzar is. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong. For thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. See, when Nebuchadnezzar set that image up in chapter 2 or chapter 3, which we read, you know, the Bible says he set it up seven times. He thought he was great. He was. Whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven, saying, hew the tree down, destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron, brass and tinder. Verse 24, this is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. See, Nebuchadnezzar is about to learn a lesson here. He's about to learn a lesson that there's only one judge, that's God, and he will judge this earth. Amen. That's what the decree is. And when God sets a decree, it will happen. And this is what the Holy One is, a watcher. I don't know what they are. It's a watcher, but that's what it's talking about. That they shall drive thee from men. See, as I said, remember I said about this message? This message is things don't last. You know, if you're a Christian this morning, I want you to hear me loud. And hear this out really loud and understand something. I believe the Bible. And in James chapter 4, verse 13, and this is to us as believers, and we should listen. And listen up. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go in to such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Then it goes on, Lord willing, we'll do those things. Not we will say we're going to do those things. Be careful of that. Be careful of setting up your own plans and your own thoughts and saying it's going to turn out like this. Be careful of that. You know, there's people's relationships don't last, you know, amen? I had a marriage that didn't last. You know, there are some things in our lives that don't last. I'm thankful my first marriage didn't last. Wasn't happy that it was ending. Amen? Didn't like the process. But I had to understand that there is a God in heaven. I had to be very careful to say, well, I'm going to push and enforce my will above his will. Be careful. That's what James is talking about. Here, as we look into Daniel chapter 4, there's a decree from heaven. There's a judgment that's going to take place on Nebuchadnezzar himself. This is what Daniel's astonished, troubled. Hey, look, I don't want to see anyone, and God doesn't want to judge anyone. God doesn't have a vendetta against Nebuchadnezzar. God is going to judge Nebuchadnezzar because this is going to be the best thing for Nebuchadnezzar, which we'll find out. I don't like to see the Lord judge others. I don't like to see the Lord pull others down and break, and which we're going to see, and put them in a hard place. But sometimes God will do that because he wants to maybe get our attention and find out that and help us with some things. And always understand whatever the Lord does in our life, he's in control, and it's always the best for us. Amen? Things don't last. You know, a lot of people have a trouble with death today. Why? Because they don't want to die. Amen? Hallelujah. You and I are going to die. Your body is not going to last. You know, I was talking to Graham yesterday, and we're talking about our bodies. And I was saying how that sometimes I'll go and play golf, I'll practice, and I'll go and try and play nine, and by the time I get to the fourth hole, I'm stuffed. I'm had it. And you know what I do now? Which I don't do, which I wouldn't have done in the past. Mike gave me the idea, I put my clubs back in the car and I walk back. I don't slog it out. I don't try to slog out the next five holes or whatever it is. I don't slug it out any longer. Why? Because I have learned to understand and accept some things don't last. My body doesn't last. And just to try to slug something out, it's just my stupid pride, amen? But isn't it better to go home and feel happy and live? So Daniel here, there's a decree from the Most High in verse 24, which has come upon my Lord. So this is the lesson that you and I as believers need to learn and understand. There's a decree. It's God who sets things up. That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and give it to whomsoever he will. There's your theme. So here, this thing's going to pass over Nebuchadnezzar seven times. Is it 7 years? I don't know, but you could say that when you look at Daniel and as we compare it with Revelation, there's probably a good feeling it could be 7 years, but I'm not sure. We'll have a look at this in a moment. So Daniel gives the interpretation to Nebuchadnezzar. Basically, Daniel's saying to Nebuchadnezzar, this thing that you're in is not going to last. Whereas thy commandment to leave the stump of the of verse 26, the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens, and notice everyone, the heavens, what? Do rule. The heavens do. Not governments, not this earth, not you, not I. Who rules? The heavens rule. That's why in Revelation it says, he set in their hearts to fulfill his will. The heavens do rule. Even Nebuchadnezzar knew that. They had the wrong gods, but they realized that their gods, their polytheism and the idols and things that they worshipped. And of course, Daniel is given a personal name according to Nebuchadnezzar's own personal god. They understood that the heavens rule. You know, you and I live in a society today don't even believe there's a heaven. Far out. That's a bad place to stand. That's a bad place to be, to realize that you think you're in control. And that's why you can understand when Jesus Christ said, when he said to him, ye are gods. Verse 27, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness and by iniquities, by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthy of thy tranquility. You know what Daniel's trying to talk to this great king? Let me give you some advice. Listen to what I'm about to say. How about humbling yourself a little bit? You know the most dangerous people are? You know who the most dangerous people are? The ones that you give advice to and they say, yeah, I know that's true, but they don't do anything about it, because they're more selfish and they're more interested in their own greatness or their own pride or their own knowledge or their own thinking. Now, have you ever noticed that when somebody's in something, you can see it and you can't see it because you're in it? Who's ever been there? And someone comes along and says, look, you're in this thing, you need to get out of it, but you can't see it because you're in it. And you might even say to that person, yeah, I know that's true, but you don't do anything about it because you can't really see it. Do you realize that Daniel here is showing Nebuchadnezzar what his end is? Daniel can see his end, which we're going to look at in a moment. He can see what's going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar. He's giving Nebuchadnezzar a space to repent. Let me give you some advice before this thing happens. Verse 28, but notice Nebuchadnezzar. So he said, showing mercy to the poor, verse 27. Humble yourself a little bit before God here. Be careful. I know, Nebuchadnezzar, you don't believe what I'm saying, because Nebuchadnezzar, there is no other king like you. There's never been one before you, and neither will be one after you either, really, if you think about it, because he's a man who built Babylon. He was able to take Jerusalem. He was able to set up his kingdom. He was the one who wrote the law. He was the one who executed the law. I mean, what other great person was there? I mean, he was so great he could even set up an image himself, asking the whole world to bow down and worship him. Greatness. You know something. I really find. You know, fashion makes me a laugh. I saw a lady the other day, and she was wearing, you know, fashion clothes, and the clothes were, were to try to, you know, were 50 years younger than what she was. You know what I mean? She's trying to wear these clothes that would probably fit a nice 30-year-old or something like that. And I was looking at her, I thought, you need a reality check, lady. Don't you realise that your body is not what it used to be, and those clothes don't do anything for you at all, amen? There's a reality check sometimes that you and I need to have. But, you know, and sometimes we live in denial of some things in our own lives. You know, I do it myself. We all can do this, and here's Nebuchadnezzar. And notice Nebuchadnezzar didn't receive anything, Daniel said, because in verse 29, at the end of 12 months, so he had the message for 12 months, and he did nothing about it. How much light have you received since you've been a believer? See, Nebuchadnezzar, he was somebody that lived afar off. He was somebody that lived a little far off. Let me just read you, just go to Luke chapter 6, verse 46 for a moment. Luke 6, I want to show you this before we continue with Nebuchadnezzar. Have a look in Luke, in the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, we often use Matthew in this passage. But in Luke chapter 6, and I'll just get over there in verse 46, notice the Bible says here, and they will call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I, what, say. Didn't we just pick it up in Nebuchadnezzar was praising the God of heaven, where he said, I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God had wrought toward me. How great are his signs. You know what Nebuchadnezzar was doing? He was doing lip service. Because Daniel was last. Notice here in verse, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I, what? Say. A lot of people have lip service, but they never receive instruction to what the Lord says. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built a house. Didn't Nebuchadnezzar build his house, which we'll look at, and dig deep, lay the foundation on a rock? When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin thereof that house was great. See, Nebuchadnezzar was one that was one in what he had some lip service towards God, but he wasn't about to listen to what Daniel had said. Who, by the way, Daniel was a prophet who had the Spirit of Christ, and he wasn't about to take any instruction from Daniel. He said, I might know what you're saying, Daniel, is true, but he wouldn't receive it, amen. So here in verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar in verse 29, at the end of 12 months, he walked into the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. He walks into the house that he's built. Watch this, everyone. He's walked into the house that he's built, and he hasn't taken any instruction from Daniel, which he should have, because he knew that Daniel was a prophet of the Most High. Now, just stay with me for a moment. If you say you believe it's the Word of God, then take instruction from it. Amen. Watch. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Notice him lifting himself up. While the word was in the king's mouth, this is after 12 months, he didn't repent, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee is spoken the kingdom is departed from thee. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, for the first time, has heard a personal and direct word of God spoken to him. The Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even to the asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He's this great king, and now the word of God has spoken to him. Verse 32, and they shall drive thee from men. He wouldn't listen. And that thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. Thou shalt make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and give it to whomsoever he will. Be careful, Christian. The same hand that saved you is the same hand that can humble you. Let me read you 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Notice that God resisteth the proud. It's far better for us to humble ourselves. Let me just take a point here of note about Jesus Christ, the one you say you believe in. Bible says in Philippians, where Paul said, take this mind in you, that where he thought, where in Philippians, I'll just read it to you, in Philippians, think about the mind that was in Jesus Christ. I think it's a mind that should be in every personal believer. I'm going to show you why in a moment. You know, it really worries me sometimes. You know, some people have great talent and they have great work effort. And there's always someone greater than we are. Amen. Have you noticed that? Always someone greater in some field. But it really worries me that when people have great talents and they have the great work effort to do, that they never give God the praise. Notice something about your Lord here. Notice what Paul said in verse 2 of chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 2. Fulfilling my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. You know, you should worry if all your fellowship is with the lost people and not saved people. See, when the rich man lifted up from afar, he could see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. He could see Lazarus who wasn't far from God. And yet you think about the rich man, he was in hell. You know, a lot of you here, and even though we're in lockdown, your fellowship shouldn't be with the lost. Your fellowship should be with other believers. You're following God from afar. Do you know that Peter followed the Lord from afar when he rejected him, when he got mad at the cross? And then God came and restored him again. I want you to note here in Jesus Christ where he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, vanity. You know, vainglory is thinking you're something, lifting yourself up, just like Nebuchadnezzar did. The great king, what was he going about to learn? He needed to learn that there was the true and living God. He needed to learn there was a God in heaven. He needed to learn and understand that it's the heavens that rule. Pilate needed to learn that too. When Jesus Christ said, thou shalt have no power unless it's given to thee from heaven. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own, what? Things. Don't think you're so great and wonderful that you look at your own education, your own place where God's put you. See, Nebuchadnezzar built this kingdom, And it was God allowed him to build it. If you're successful in this world and you have things, don't look at yourself as you being something wonderful and great, because you're not. It's the God of heaven that gave us these things. Amen. Notice the mind that's in Jesus Christ. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let esteem other better than them, what? Better than themselves. Look not man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It'd be just like what Chambers said. Jesus Christ started looking at himself, and he was God, and he started lifting up himself. You know what Jesus Christ would have come? An irritating dictator. One of the worst problems that believers have, and pastors are the worst in this particular area, is spiritual pride. They think they know the Bible and they think they know it better than someone else. They don't look at others, they look at themselves. They keep on trying to build their ministries. They keep on trying to build their kingdoms, amen? They think that they want to be the great preacher. They want to be the one that all the crowds come and flock to, amen? By the way, they're the ones that pervert the word of God so they can do that, amen? Hallelujah to that. And here's Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one where we look at the stone made without hands, and he'll come back and set up the kingdom. Here's Jesus Christ at the first advent. He never looked at himself. He never looked at his own greatness. He let a lowly mind in his mind, and he looked at the things of others, and yet he was the greater than them all, amen? I was talking to Graham yesterday. We were talking about the NRL, and I was saying to Graham, you know, Graham, because he misses playing, he not misses, but he knows and understands that he can't play football anymore, amen? And I was saying, I understand that. But I was saying that he came from an era before I knew anything about football. I knew things about football in Queensland when the Broncos got into the NRL. And at that time they had Tina Turner. You know what Tina Turner's, and I'll just see if I can point, you know what the song that they used for the NRL? You're simply the best. This is how they were promoting the NRL. You're simply the best, better than all the what? Rest. Better than anyone I've ever met. That was the lyrics. Isn't that Satan's lyrics to us? Oh, we are the best. There's no one better than us. I will guarantee you, you cannot go through life and find someone that's smarter and greater than you are, amen? And here's Tina Turner, they were saying, you're better than all the rest. Yes, and that was King Nebuchadnezzar. He could truly say it. In the extreme of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, there was no one greater than he was. And yet now he's about to go from the throne to the dust, because there was a decree made in heaven. And the Holy Ones, the Watchers, gave the interpretation to Daniel and said, Daniel, tell Nebuchadnezzar this. But give him a space of 12 months and see if he repents. But no, Nebuchadnezzar was so great in his own pride, he walked into the palace and said, look at the things that I made. He wasn't looking at things of others, he was looking at himself. Amen. As he walked in, and the word of God spoke to him. You realize that the Lord of God can speak to you in different ways. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He'll give grace to those who will humble themselves. Takes the mighty grace of God for us to humble ourselves. But don't be like Nebuchadnezzar, who didn't humble himself, because he put himself in a place where God was going to humble him. And watch what happens. In verse 33, the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was the word of God, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Bang, smash, right there and then. He was driven from men, did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till the hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. He was like a beast. He's a man who's like a beast. By the way, isn't in your Bible the Antichrist is called a beast? He's a man. This Nebuchadnezzar is not an Antichrist. He gets because we'll see here, because he turns to God. So here's Nebuchadnezzar being humbled by the God of heaven, the true and living God. And listen, you know, God is speaking to some of you right now, and he doesn't have to speak to you audibly. Take note, and please listen to me as your pastor, and please listen right up. And I am so concerned about this, is that when people resist God and they don't humble themselves, he will start to judge, or he will start to humble them. Amen. It's a concern. And if you can't be spoken to, then you're dangerous. Nebuchadnezzar was dangerous. I have a saying. I often say it to people, and that kind of takes them off guard. I say, you know, this is all about you, isn't it? And they look at me. But it's true, it's all about us, isn't it? That's how we think. That's human nature. We think it's all about us. We never consider the relationships we are in, because I'm sure that you'd want them to last. We put ourselves on the front and we think it's all about us. And then we find out that some of the things that we had didn't last because we put ourselves on the throne and we kicked Jesus Christ off the throne. Hey, hallelujah. It's not all about us. Nebuchadnezzar, he thought it was all about him. Look at this great thing that I built. Nebuchadnezzar, you didn't build it. God allowed you to build it. He gave it to you. Now he's about to find out from the throne to the dust, or to the... He's about to find out something here. And what an embarrassing thing. Do you know, if Nebuchadnezzar could have just humbled himself, he wouldn't have had to go through this embarrassment. Here's this great king, now looking like a beast, walking around, you know, he's in the field somehow. I don't know what this thing actually looks like, but it's not a good place to be. But 34, praise God. At 34, you know, the only time a pig can look up is when it's on his back. I learnt that in Goa in India. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven. And my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High and praised. And let's just turn over the page. And honoured him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Oh, praise God. What a change in Nebuchadnezzar's heart. He humbled himself before the God of heaven. And he looked up, and this is what he said, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Man, he's got a good insight now. There's nothing in this life. It's all temporal. The only thing that you and I have is an eternal salvation in Jesus Christ, amen. It's the only thing that will last. That's why your families and our loved ones should get saved. And he doth according to his will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? You know, you can't question the Lord, can you? You know, he's always working and doing something when we can't see what he's doing. The Lord is never dead. He's always working in our lives. He's making sure that whatever the outcome is best for us. Don't you realize that God loves us? But sometimes he has to get us into a position where we see him. And at the same time, many reasoned and returned unto me for the glory of my kingdom. My kingdom, my honor. See, it's returned. Remember Job? It was returned to him. And my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. You know, humble yourself before God and he will lift you up in due time. Isn't that what an amazing thing when this great king humbled himself before God, because God put a heavy hand upon him. He humbled himself, and then God said, I'm going to show you who's God, and then lifted him back up again, put him back in the throne. Hallelujah. What a God and Saviour we have. Don't ever be frightened or have the fear not to trust and serve him. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honour the King of heaven, of all whose works are truth, his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride. Notice what he said, he is able to abase. You know what Nebuchadnezzar said? Nebuchadnezzar said, pride. I've been walking in my own pride. Then he found out that God was able to do that. You know, Isaiah talked about Babylon in Isaiah 13:19, and Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency shall be as when God overthrows Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, the book of Isaiah said that's what happened. The glory of Babylon would be overthrown, which we know. Here Nebuchadnezzar realized that the glory that he had was nothing. Now he looks up to the Most High and sees the glory of God. He realized whatever God does in your life and my life as Christians, it's for his glory and his glory only. Hallelujah. It's got nothing to do with you and I. It's got to do with him. Don't live afar off as believers. Because when a believer lives far off, you might be in a position where God starts to humble you. You don't want that. You always want to be close to the Lord where you can humble yourself before him. Amen? And understand this lesson. God resisteth the proud. As soon as Nebuchadnezzar resisted God in his own pride and being proud about his achievements, God humbled him. That period of time went over seven. Revelation 1:17, and this should be all our verses as believers. And John said, when I saw him, who's that? Jesus Christ. I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. You know, as you look at Nebuchadnezzar, there's some great lessons we need to learn. And the greatest lesson that I learn out of this is God loves you. And God wants to bring a change about in your life. Let him. Allow him. Allow God by his grace and his power that if you're holding on to something so dearly, let it go. Understand something that when you and I are in something, it's usually we can't see it. But it takes someone else to come along and give us some instruction and wisdom. We might know it's true, but generally we don't do anything about it. And then we need to ask God to say, I know that's true, Lord, would you help me with this thing? I can't see it quite at the moment, but I know others can see it. And generally it's our loved ones saying, look, you need to do this because we love you. And have you ever noticed that when we humble ourselves, our relationships last? You know, there should really only be a couple of things on earth that we really value. We value our salvation because that will last. We should value our relationships with one another because that will last. I value this church. I value the people that come here because this is our church. This is our fellowship. Amen. And it should last till Jesus Christ comes back. Amen. You should never, ever be like Nebuchadnezzar who walked afar off. He had lip service. Yet when it came to getting close to God's man, he was last. Understand, I'm your pastor. Do you want a pastor in your life? Please hear me out. If you want a pastor, come and see me. If you don't want a pastor, God will remove me. That's just a fact. But I know he's not going to do that. Because he's still working on me, hallelujah. Amen. He ain't going to do that yet. But here's my point. My point, we should start getting closer to the things of God. We should start getting closer to the things that God's put in us. I've often seen this place as a well. You know what most people do? They move away from it. Why would you move away from water? Why would you move away from the thing that you need? Because people don't want to get close. They want to be like Nebuchadnezzar and they want to have a carnal mind and they turn to the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. Right at the moment, you and I as a society, we're listening to the so-called medical experts. I'd rather find out what God would say about it and what he'd tell us to do, amen. But we are to obey governments, and there's nothing wrong with that, and I understand that governments are put in place by God, and generally speaking, God will give us good governments, and I think at the moment God's given us as a country a good government. That's what Nebuchadnezzar had to learn. There are some governments in this world that God's given to other nations, and they're suffering. Amen. So when you look at the book of Daniel, take a note. Think about Jesus Christ, the one that you say you serve. Think about him. He didn't look upon himself, he looked upon others. And yet, if he started lifting himself up, which he could have, because he is God. There is no greater than God because he's God. So when you start looking at the Bible, we start learning some great things and understand this and realize that the heavens rule. And that's why we should say as believers, whether we do this or that, according to God's will. That's what James is talking about. And once you start realizing that I'm not going to plan out my future, I'm just going to trust the Lord, then my future now is in his hands. And have you ever noticed that when you put your future in God's hands, how he fixes it up? Might not be the way you want it, but I'll guarantee it's better. You know, Jan and I, it's funny, Jan turned 70 the other day and she was the most happiest girl in the world. She turned 70. Just the fact she got to 70, she praised God that she got to that age. I thought that was a good spirit. You know, one thing I've learnt when I read Daniel, I've learnt to be content and be thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for those that I can talk to and talk to about the Bible. But I'm getting weary of those, especially pastors, who want to keep lifting themselves up all the time. As if you have to go to them and get some great knowledge from them. No, the Bible says for us to humble ourselves. And then God will use who he will in our lives. Think about the marriage. Think about marriage. It works like this for you women. Don't you realize that women, you fell. You have emotional problems. Unfortunately, it's from the fall. It's not a denigrement upon the woman, but she needs a man, doesn't she? She needs a husband. What's the husband there for? To help the woman. And that's what God does. And you say, well, Brother Simon, I don't like the man that God put in my life. Well, if he put that man in your life, then listen to him. Because by doing that, you're sitting now back under the umbrella of God. A lot of people say, well, Brother Simon, we don't like you. You're the pastor. Well, okay, I'm not perfect. I make faults. I make mistakes. But how about listening to the Bible? Amen. This is not about me. This is about you and I. We have to realize from the book of Daniel that the heavens rule. It's God who's in control. And not us. We need to learn to be humble before him, be thankful for the things that he's given us. And don't get so thing in our mind that somehow we can walk into our own palace and think how great we are. Because then all of a sudden God will open up the word to us and amen. All of a sudden we find out that we're not what we thought we were. And that's what the book of Daniel is about. That's what the Bible's about. But what a glory it is when you and I can humble ourselves before our King. We can look up into heaven. We can praise him and thank him for being our Saviour. Aren't you glad this morning that those that have been saved are gone on before us? They'll last. Where's their soul in heaven? Amen. That will last. God sometimes has to show us down here that things will not last. And they can range from many different things. They can range from our health to our occupation to friends to whatever it might be. But if the Lord says to you and I and says, I don't want this thing to go on any longer, it's become a stumbling block. It's an image that's been set up like Nebuchadnezzar. I need to tear this thing down so you and I can get our eyes back on the Lord. It'd be good if we had Isabel here this morning. We could sing that song 224, I think it is, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Maybe today while we're in lockdown as believers, wherever you are, go through the week and think about turn your eyes upon Christ. Amen. Start living the simple and humble life before Jesus Christ and you'll find a great contentment and a great understanding that the Lord has, and understand how much he loves us and how much he does care for us and how much good things he can. But don't be like Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar was someone who knew the truth but couldn't be spoken to. He had lip service. He built his house. And then God said, I'm going to send a flood. And that house came crashing down. You know, as Daniel stood before that king, he was petrified. You know, I'm just speaking honestly. You know, as a believer, as a Christian, I get concerned. I get concerned when people just turn their back upon God. And I think one of the biggest one of the worst things that happens is that people say, well, I'm saved. Well, that's just straight from the devil, that is. What do you mean? I'm saved and I can do what I like. You know what I need to do every Sunday? I need to put off this old flesh. I need to stand aside and allow the Holy Ghost to take over, amen? I need to put off the old man. I need to crucify him. I don't need to feed him. I need to stand aside that the Holy Spirit can fill us. And we walk after the flesh and say, oh, well, God's merciful to me because I'm saved. Be careful of that. Understand that you and I have an old nature. And that old nature is prone to start to thinking about how great we are. I'd have to be careful of? You know, what did Paul have to be careful of? And I know I'm going on a little bit here, but remember what Paul said. He asked the Lord Christ to take the messenger of Satan from him. And God said, I'm not going to take it from you, Paul, because you'll be lifted up with the revelations I've given you. That messenger of Satan was to buffet Paul, to keep him humble, to keep him in a real and understanding of the God of heaven. And he asked for deliverance and God didn't give it to him. You know, sometimes the thing that God has in our lives could be that he wants to keep us humble, amen. He wants us to keep us before the throne of God. He wants us to come unto that mercy seat. But dear God, don't receive instruction and then wait 12 months and then forget all about it and walk into your own palace and think how great you are. Don't we all do that? We get instruction from God and then we walk away and we forget about it. Amen. And then later down the road we think, hang on, I should have known better. And then we think, I shouldn't be in this spot. If I just listen and humble myself, I wouldn't be in this problem. Oh, but Brother Simon, you don't know. I'm too worried about losing this relationship and this relationship. Hey, by the way, there are some relationships you need to lose. There are some relations you do not need to keep. Amen? Because this is what this message is about. Not all things last. But the one thing that does last is our relationship to our God in heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time that we've had this morning. I know I went on a little bit here, but Lord, it's so true. There's so much truth in thy word, and I ask God you would apply it to our lives. I know you love us. God, I know you care for us. And I know, Lord, you want to direct us and guide us. And we ask for your help this morning in Jesus' name. We pray, amen and amen.